Okay, glad to see everybody here tonight. We're going to have maybe a short lesson. If I don't get too long-winded, it'll be a short lesson. But we're going to talk about profitable preaching. And we're going to base this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, and also 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. And so, come on. Get in there. Now, what is it that we consider valuable or profitable? I mean, so in order for it to be profitable, it's got to do some good for us. We've got to see value in what we do. And that's one of the biggest problems that preachers have is what can I do and teach that will be profitable for everybody? Well, preaching the word is very profitable for people. Now, everybody's situation is different, so a lot of times we sometimes have to preach just in generalities rather than specifics. Sometimes specifics are helpful. And so we consider some of these things. All right. So, to men, this has been a question of considerable controversy for quite some time. What are you going to give the people? I mean, first of all, we got to determine what do they need, and then will what we say meet that need? And so, you know, communication is one thing. I mean, I could sit up here and preach all day long, but if the members are not paying attention, if they're not listening, if they have something else on their mind, and they don't listen to what's being spoken, it's not going to do them any good. And so in that case, a sermon may be profitable for one person or many persons, but then the rest of the congregation is not for them. Probably because it just doesn't fit what they want to hear. And that's the way it is with a lot of people in our world today, is they don't want to hear the truth, they want to hear the made-up stories. And so we're going to talk about that. So we might say that what might be considered as profitable preaching to some wouldn't necessarily fit in that category with others. Some people need to hear the very basics, where they need to be taught again. And others, they need to go to the strong meat. And so trying to balance that out, it can be very challenging. So really depending upon the audience. And I really haven't got a problem with the Sunday night crowd, because these are the ones that are more spiritually minded and probably stronger in the faith than the Sunday morning crowd. So we can get a little bit more technical on Sunday night than we can on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, there's a lot of weak individuals who need to kind of be guided along and helped along with the teaching that we provide for them, that it will be profitable for them. You know, in Ephesians 4, he talks about speak only the words good for edification. And so there's the challenge. What is it that edifies as many people as possible? And so, as we see, sometimes a preacher might say, well, my preaching might be too harsh for some members or too soft for others. And so, like I say, depending on how you view things, I mean, it could be one or the other. But in any way, the preacher can't win. I mean, if he speaks the truth, he's too spirited, so to speak. And if he doesn't speak the truth, he's too weak. And so I got a poster on the back there about the criticized preacher. If he speaks over time, he preaches too long. Sometimes he preaches too short. And in many cases, most people don't appreciate the preacher anyway. But anyway, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So that's what we have, and that's why our preaching should include as much of the Word of God as possible. And yes, we need to bring it in there. And so I've never really been accused of not preaching enough scripture. I mean, I usually have quite a few in my sermons. And sometimes I don't do it. I tried that one attempt at preaching without any scripture references. That was kind of rough. But anyway, profitable means there is an advantage to it. So it is inspired and profitable for teaching. In other words, it's valuable for teaching. And of course, what are we supposed to learn? We're supposed to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. You know, Colossians 1:9, Paul prayed that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of his will. And we are supposed to be doing the same thing. We're commanded to grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18. And so we're supposed to grow. And we're supposed to receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save our souls, James 1:22. And so there is an advantage to preaching the word of God. And the advantage is if we pay attention and follow the word of God, we get to go to heaven. See, it produces something more than what is begun with. In other words, when you walk in, you should walk out with a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more encouragement, a little bit more of everything, really, when you think about it. When you come to services, if you leave with what you came with, then you didn't get anything out of the sermon or the fellowship that we have with each other. I mean, sometimes, yes, the song leading can be uplifting and it can be exciting and help us feel good. And sometimes someone's not in the mood to sing, so they really didn't get anything out of that. And so, yeah, we've talked recently about attitudes and the way we do these things. So it's just something to be considered here. See, teaching. Now, that's what it says. It's good for teaching. It's good for reproof. Sometimes people are not living the way they should be living, and we got to kind of chide them and get on their case. And some people don't appreciate this. They don't like it when the preacher gets on their case and starts talking to them. They call it stepping on the toes. And yeah, sometimes I announce I'm going to step on some toes today. And so that's because some people are obviously not where they're supposed to be, spiritually speaking. And then, of course, there's correction. To correct someone that might have a wrong view of something, we need to include that, and instruction in righteousness. Now, that doesn't always have to be done in the sermon. Sometimes we can have home Bible studies and cover these subjects in more detail and with better understanding than we have allotted in the time frame that we have. Sometimes we just skim the top of it instead of getting down deep where we need to be. And so the instruction on how to be righteous, that's what we're working on. And the reason for that is so that God will approve of us. And that means all of us, not just some of us, but all of us. And so that the result. See, we should be fully prepared or conditioned for the works of God that he has called us to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. And so, we have work that we're supposed to do. Yes, we're supposed to let our light shine. In other words, we need to be an example to people. We need to make sure Christ is first in our life and live that way so people will ask us the hope that's in us, 1 Peter 3:15. And so we have to be prepared to give an answer of the hope that's in us. And so by taking the word of God and learning it and applying it, then it's very profitable for us. Just like the psalmist said, thy word have I planted in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so that's right. I mean, when we learn what God wants from us and start doing it, then we're on the right path. If we don't learn what God wants us to do, then we're on the wrong path. It's just that simple. Now, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Paul wrote, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. All right, when we break this down, see, the apostle charges his follower, not only Timothy, but he did the same thing with Titus, and he probably did this everywhere he went, and as he preached, he says, you got to learn to do this, and so you got to learn to preach this, and in the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, this is where our focus needs to be. Sitting here and talking about things of this world is not going to get anything accomplished. Trying to preach a sermon using the 49ers as some sort of example, that's really not going to do much. And you really can't really make a point that way. But we're talking spiritual thoughts, spiritual matters. That is what is important. And that's what we need to focus on. And so, preach the word. Yeah, the word of God. That's what our preaching should be limited to, what the word has revealed and how we make the application of that word. And so, the word that was revealed through the apostles and guided by the Holy Spirit at the beginning. Yes, they needed that special help. But now that it's in writing for us, we don't need any special help from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us all the help we need by giving us the Bible. And so Paul warned those who are trying to teach something a little bit different than what they had first learned. And he got on their case about it. He says, though we or an angel of heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And then he repeated that. So it's very important. And then, of course, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be ready all the time. You know, sometimes, you know, when I was younger, I would basically wait till someone said, oh, we need you to preach next week, or we ain't got an opening coming up. Then I'd start working on a lesson. And that was the wrong way to do it. Basically, I eventually learned, I put several outlines on the front of my Bible, the back of my Bible, so if at any moment someone gave me the opportunity, I was ready. And so, I mean, yeah, there's some very simple lessons. I mean, just get up a lesson and talk about the plan of salvation. I mean, that's a timely subject that we always need, because we all need to be prepared to teach that to others. And so, we need to be studied up and prepared at any opportunity. I mean, as we spend time as a preacher, I mean, there's more time dedicated during the week to get the lessons in order and get it prepared so that it is understandable, it's timely, and it keeps within a certain time frame. I think my longest sermon so far has been 51 minutes. And, of course, that was too long for some, I guess. But anyway, we need to be ready. And then, what are we to preach? I mean, we take the word, just like it said there in chapter 3 about the inspired word of God. Yes, we need it for reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Rebuke those who are teaching error. Now, we need to do that. And there's a lot of people out here teaching error. And we've got to expose it for what it is. It will not help people get to heaven. And while we may not interact with them, I mean, if we know somebody's teaching falsehood, we've got to warn people. Because some people like to shop around. They like to go from place to place. And sometimes they may go to this church one week. They might go to that church another week and a different church. And they all just kind of feel kind of warm and fuzzy about all that. But then when we find, you know what they teach? They teach falsehood. They teach error. So we have to know what they teach so that we can teach against it. And yes, we teach the truth. We teach the Bible. And some people in order to refute the Bible, they have to learn the Bible. And some who have attempted to learn the Bible so that they could refute it eventually became believers. And then some who believed the Bible to be real, and they tried to defend it, and they weren't adequate, so they fell away from the faith. So, I mean, all types of things can happen in this area. So, but the exhortation should be there. The encouragement that we have for each other should always be there in our preaching. And we should always say, yes, you can. I mean, you've been making mistakes, but you know what? You don't have to. You can stop making the mistakes and start living right. I mean, just like that. And he also included the words with patience and instruction or education. Yeah, sometimes preachers get frustrated because they do this preaching and it doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention. Or it seems like the faithful ones are paying attention, but the unfaithful ones are not. So yeah, there's some frustration taking place there. Now, unprofitable preaching. I mean, deluding the hearers, keeping them guessing, leading them astray. These are three things that happens that some preachers do. I mean, they're really, sometimes they do it unknowingly. I mean, they just get up to start talking. They don't know what they're talking about, but they just get up and start talking because, hey, they like the idea of being a preacher and getting people to listen to them. But yet, sometimes you listen and you start questioning, what are they saying up there? What are they teaching? I've sat in sermons and listened for them talk for 20, 30, 40 minutes. They didn't say anything. Nothing that was profitable, at least. I mean, and really, they didn't use, quote, many scriptures. I heard a lot of fish stories. I heard a lot of vacation stories and stuff like that. But, yeah, some of these people, they just don't use the scriptures. But they're going to get up and talk, and it's like they know what they're talking about. You want to see an example of that? Just turn on Joel Osteen. I mean, yeah, I mean, he doesn't use the scripture. He may grab a scripture and pull it out of context and make a whole story out of it or lesson out of it, but he's not teaching the Word of God. He ignores much of the Word of God, and so he keeps them guessing, and by doing that, he's leading people astray. The only way to set people in the right pathway is to lay the truth on them. Tell them the truth. Yeah, now Paul was concerned about this. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And yeah, that's something that preachers have to deal with. People don't like the truth. And if they get too much truth, well, that's a little harsh for them. So they say, well, we'll go somewhere else. And that's what they do. Now, unprofitable preaching is scratching the ears. Now, we're going to read in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy 4 in just a minute, but scratching their ears to keep them coming. Tell them neat stories. Tell them fun stories. Do things that are exciting to them. I told you about that one person in some community church in Houston. Every week he makes a grand entrance some way. Sometimes he'll drive up in a dune buggy. Sometimes he'll ride a horse. Sometimes he'll ride a motorcycle up to the stage and just do something. And so it's always some big show that they're putting on. And really, people go just to find out, what's he going to do this week? And they're not there for any spiritual message. They just want to see what the preacher's going to do this week. And people like that, they get big audiences, but, I mean, it doesn't provide anything for them. See, playing on their emotions with deathbed stories and tear-jerking tales. How many times y'all ever turn over and see Jimmy Swaggart with tears in his eyes just talking, oh, so I'm so sorry about this and stuff. I mean, some of you may not remember Jimmy Swaggart, but anyway. He did that. He got in trouble. He got caught doing some things he shouldn't have been doing. So he got up there and cried on the set that he got caught, and he's sorry about that. But he turned around, but please send me your money. I mean, that's what they do. All right, so anyway, dealing with emotions. Yeah, getting people's emotions all riled up. And sometimes you make people happy, okay, they're going to support you. You don't make them happy, they're not going to support you. And sometimes they go with the speculative, assumptive preaching. They make great plays on things that are not revealed. There's always assumptions that are taking place. I mean, where did Cain get his wife? And what was it that Jesus wrote on the ground? You know, they brought this woman, said, okay, the law says she needs to be stoned. What do you say? He just got down there and started writing something on the ground. And what was it that he wrote? I don't know. Nobody knows. There's a few passages of scripture in the law, in the Old Testament that certainly would have been appropriate at the time, that he very possibly could have written one of those down. But we don't know. And so where did Cain get his wife? It was either his sister or his niece or some relative. Unless you get this idea that, well, maybe there were other clans other than Adam and Eve that had developed. And so he got his wife from some foreigner. I mean, people come up with some strange things. And it's really strange. And then there's apologetic preaching. Now, that can mean two things. Apologetics is the study of the evidences. And sometimes we use the evidence of the Word of God itself, what it claims for itself, and what others have claimed about the Word of God, and the evidence of its existence and its continuing perpetuity. In other words, it's staying, it's perpetual, it is still here. After the years and years of people trying to destroy the Bible, trying to burn the Bibles, and trying to convince people that Bibles are obsolete, they're still around. And so there's evidence that, yes, what we have has not been manipulated or twisted in any way. I mean, we have ancient manuscripts and texts that we can verify what we have. And so they do that. So that's one form of apologetic preaching. The type I'm talking about is preaching the Word of God and then apologizing for what it said. You know, sometimes members will do this. Maybe they'll have a friend come and the preacher will get on a subject that the member knows that their friend's very uncomfortable about and then apologize. I've actually heard people say, I'm sorry you had to hear that lesson. And you know what? The lesson was appropriate. It was right. It was the Word of God. And it was the truth. And then a member saying, well, I'm sorry you had to hear that. No, folks, you needed to hear that. You know, sometimes maybe preaching truth in a general way where they don't make any specific applications. And maybe not pinpointing any sin or any good for that matter. I mean, just saying, okay, people have sinned. And don't get into, well, what type of sin are you talking about? We could be talking about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. We can get into all sorts of sin. Just the omission of doing what God wants us to do is sin in itself. And yet some people just preach in generalities. I mean, I think of it this way, preach in general, yeah, Jesus died for everybody, and just leave it there. No, let's get specific. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. And that's how we need to look at it. I mean, it's specifically, he did it because my sin is the reason he died. Because I sinned. And so he did that. Now, he did it for everybody, that's true. But sometimes preachers just go a little bit too general and really don't scratch the surface of what needs to be said. Sometimes they abuse the truth by throwing off on people with the use of it. As to say, I have you where I want you now, and I'm going to let you have it with both barrels. No, that's the wrong way to do it. That's abusive. Now, if I tell people, yeah, I'm probably going to step on some toes today because, you know what? I've already stepped on my own. I don't do anything like that unless I've already stepped on my own toes, and wow, that hurt. This lesson is powerful. It hurts me, and I've got to make some changes so I know it's going to affect other people. Sometimes I warn them, sometimes I don't. Sure, it is all right and proper to preach the truth with zeal, but do it with love in your heart for all. You know, we can speak the truth. A visitor comes in and says, you're going to hell. I mean, that's not very profitable. I mean, that would be the wrong thing to do. Very appropriate. First of all, they probably just get up and walk out. But yet, if we do it with love in our heart and warning them, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and only those who obey the gospel can get to go to heaven. I mean, so there's ways of doing it, and one of these days I'll figure that out. So some of the message needs to be seasoned with salt, and a lot of times it's not. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, as we said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And so that's what they do. They're not going to endure sound teaching. I mean, it's quite obvious a lot of people don't want sound teaching, so they just ignore it. They go somewhere else. And this has been going on since the days of Moses. What Moses taught was the truth, and yet people decided they didn't want to listen to Moses. And we could even take it back to the Garden of Eden. Eve wasn't happy with what God had commanded, and so she was waiting for someone to give her validation that it was okay to do what she wanted to do. And so she did that, and it's been going on ever since. And so selfishness is what it's all about. It's what I want. I mean, I want whatever it takes to satisfy me. And that's how the majority of people in this world live. They don't care about anybody else. Just whatever satisfies me, that's all I care about. And so that is nothing but selfishness. And selfishness is not going to help anybody get to heaven. See, if you won't teach me what I want to hear, I will find someone else who will. And we know that's the case, because false teaching has come into the church on numerous occasions, and if the preacher is still going to preach the truth on the subject, and they want something different, they know there's preachers out there who will give them what they want to hear. Yeah, there is, and they know that. And if they won't preach that in the Church of Christ, then I'll go to some other church, and I'll make my membership there, and I'll get to do what I want to do. There is that what I want to do, again. And so the result is going to be myths, perversions, and lies, anything but the truth of God. You know, 2 Timothy 2:10-12 talks about with all the deception of wickedness and the fact that they didn't have a love for the truth, God will allow them to believe the lie because they love not the truth. And so this is all going to take place, and God said what he's going to do about it. Now, when we think of profitable preaching, is effective only if effectual hearing is present. So really, it's on both our parts. I got to present the lessons that are sound and accurate according to the scriptures and without error, and you've got to be listening carefully to make sure it's not error. You know, the Bereans, the example, Acts 17:11, they were more noble-minded because they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's why I keep saying all the time, check me out, see if it's right. You know, I do a lot of quotations up here. Sometimes I realize I was thinking one verse and another verse was entering my mind, and so I use that verse. And so, yeah, I can make mistakes. See, closed ears do not receive the message. Some people come with the intent, I'm not going to hear, listen to a word they say. I don't want to hear anything. I'm just going to get in here, do my thing, and then get out of here. And really, sometimes you question if people really feel that way. Sometimes it becomes quite obvious. See, in Psalm 40 and verse 8, it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. So when God's law is in our hearts, we will delight to do what he wants us to do. We will set the example, and we will be glad to do it. And yes, we may have to face persecution. But even Peter and John, when they were beaten and told not to preach anymore in his name, they left. They were happy. They're in Acts chapter 5. They were happy that they were beaten for the cause of Christ. And Jesus said it would happen that way. See, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yes, that's what we need. We need that in our hearts. All right, 2 Timothy 4:5-8. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. All right, so, I mean, we got to be in there. See, there's a reward for teaching God's word. Yes, that's true. There is a reward for it. If you're teaching it properly, teaching it soundly, yes, there is a reward for that. If you're not teaching it properly, yeah, there's a punishment. And we must not forget that all of us have the charge to do the work of an evangelist. Every one of us in this room, we have a responsibility to share the message of God with anybody that will listen. And so that is work that we all can do and we should do. And each of us has a ministry or a service to perform. And you may not be a pulpit preacher, but yet you can do things for others. Some people are giving people, and they do for others. They help others out. They see a need, they react, and they do something about it. And so, in a sense, that is a form of ministry. Ministry is just minister to somebody or serve somebody. I mean, that's what it is. Some people think ministry is reserved for the people who wear the backward collars or wear the robes or something. No. Ministry is whatever I can do to share God's message, whether by example, by word of mouth. I mean, whatever we can do there. And so we need to seek that great reward of the crown of righteousness. That's what we're looking for. I mean, the crown of righteousness represents the eternal home in heaven, salvation. And that's what we're looking forward to. So those are the things we need to understand about preaching and deciding whether it is profitable or not. So think about those things. That's going to be our lesson for this evening. And if you're subject to the invitation, I invite you to come while we stand and sing.